knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
My bright spot today is tennis.
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 Is the tennis finals. Mm. ATP finals. Yannick Sinner versus Taylor Fritz.
Woo!
Yannick Sinner is just out of this world right
okay.
now. He's absolutely destroying everybody left and right.
This is a new name for us
yeah.
because it's kind of silly, and I think I would remember it.
Yeah. He's an Italian.
Okay.
So right now, atop the sport are him and Carlos Alcaraz. And they're awesome to have atop the sport together because they play in such a way like Yannick makes you look bad. Like, he hits the ball harder than you. He makes you look like a smaller person than you are.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. But Carlos makes himself look good.
Mm.
Like, he does all kinds of fun.
Does he make you look good, though?
You know, if you hit a good shot, he makes himself look so much better by, like, doing something pretty.
But it doesn't humiliate you in the process.
No.
Italian fellow.
You don't even get the chance.
Yeah.
You would love to play tennis with this guy, but it's already behind.
So he's like the wrestling equivalent of like a squash match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it's just like, you're a job guy. You,
yep.
you don't get any offense in, fuck you, I'm yep. a beast.
Yeah, and then whenever he plays Carlos, Carlos is the only person who can be pretty enough to defeat his force.
It's a David and Goliath kind of thing.
No, just two platonic ideals of a philosophy in contest with each other. Trapped in a situation where one wins as much as the other.
The poetry of sport.
It's fascinating.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad these new folks are coming in to fill the spots.
They're doing a great job.
Emptied by the retirees like
yep.
Agassi and Sampras.
Sampras has been gone for a while. Michael Chang, he's calling it quits.
Sure.
Absolutely. What's your bright spot?
McEnroe.
Yep.
My bright spot is I'm going on vacation.
Indeed you are.
Yep. We've been doing this show for a long time.
Yep.
And I take very few vacations, and so I'm going to. And we've got some episodes that we've pre-recorded, so they'll be coming out. Strange timing, given that all this nonsense is going on with Alex.
Perfect.
But I think that actually this episode that we're going to record is a solid argument for why I don't care.
Good call.
The Alex should be put on a break anyway.
Okay.
And so maybe it is the perfect time.
Excellent.
But given that like we just had the election and Alex's auction and we're coming up on 8 years of the show.
Yeah.
It's maybe time for a little battery recharge.
I think it's great.
So
I think the funniest part is the moment that or the first time Trump was elected, I left the country.
Yeah.
Second time, you're out of here.
Yep.
I love it.
It's the history rhymes.
Yeah, something like that.
So we got an episode to go over today, Jordan. We're going to be talking about November 15th, 2024.
Okay. All right.
This is the day after it came out that The Onion had bought InfoWars.
Right. Jesus Christ.
So
what a day.
Woo. What a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So we'll get down to business on all this, but first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new walks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Sammy, the space corgi, engineer of the Star Cruiser Halcyon. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, this is all caps, so pretend I'm yelling it.
Okay.
I am a stupid moron with an ugly face and a big butt, and my butt smells, and I like to kiss my own butt. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, thank you to all the Brooklyn Live Show wonks who donated to and shared the fund for my partner's top surgery. The procedure went well, and he's healing on schedule. You changed our lives, and we couldn't be more grateful. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Oh, thank you very much.
I feel like that is too nice and awesome coming off I Kiss My Own Butt.
I think it's
the juxtaposition of those two.
It was really important to me that I do that. Otherwise, we're going to be lost in a headspace.
For just a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, if you want a shout out, you can email knowledgefight@gmail.com. Jordan compiles them, and I'm cold reading them. So that was a
that was jarring. Yeah.
So we also had a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Natalie. After 10 years, I'm still Donkey Kong, King Kong crazy about you. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
We're going to jump right in here on the 15th. That's Friday.
Yep.
And here's where Alex is at.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, November 15th, 2024. I am your host, Alex Jones. And right before I went live, I received some incredible information. And this information is a lot bigger than me. It's a lot bigger than you. It's about all of us. And it's just incredibly over the top, incredible and amazing and devastating to the establishment. I'm coming to you from the backup studios at the Alex Jones Network. It is 11:09 Central Standard Time. And literally as I was going live on air, that's why we had some confusion. I had to take some phone calls and confirm some things that have now transpired. We already knew a lot of it yesterday. We learned a lot more once I got off air last night. And then this morning there has been a lot of activity. And you can see the headlines on Real Alex Jones at X. You can see the headlines at the Alex Jones Network on X. But if I can just do an overhead shot, and I had wanted to show the headline that was in there from Bloomberg, and here it is for you. Angry judge orders transparency. Angry judge questions transparency of onion bid for InfoWars.
So last we left off, Alex was in studio, desperate for someone to drag him out so he could make a scene and fulfill his Colonel Travis fantasies, but no one did. Eventually, when he realized that there wasn't any good content coming, he went over to the new studio, which he totally doesn't own, and started complaining over there. In the time since, the federal bankruptcy judge in Alex's case, Christopher Lopez, put the process of the sale on hold, calling for a hearing to get to the bottom of what happened. Alex alleges hijinks and conspiracy, and for some reason, everyone in official positions feels the need to take his claim seriously. Since our last episode, there's been some reporting on the bidding process, and as it turns out, there were only two bidders, even in the running, on the day of the auction. There was The Onion, and then there was a group that was on Alex's side, and for all intents and purposes, may as well have just been Alex. The group that was just Alex in disguise is a company called First United American Companies, LLC, who seemed to only exist in order to run a website called shopalexjones.com. The first thing you might notice about the name is that the First United part, which is a naming convention of churches. It's a very interesting piece of an otherwise incredibly bland and stupid name.
Whatever.
The physical address listed on Shop Alex Jones, that website, is in Florida, but I can't find any listings with the Secretary of State that this is a business registered there, either as an entity name or as a doing business as alias. The same is true of First United American Companies, LLC. The address on the site is a UPS store, so obviously that's a dummy location for receiving mail, not an actual brick-and-mortar business location. The business itself seems to be operated out of Texas, because it's the Shop Alex Jones, you know, so I would assume they would be registered to do business there. But again, I can't find any records that reflect First United American Companies or ShopAlexJones.com on the Secretary of State of Texas's website. I'm not the best at forensically going through business records, so I kind of hit a dead end. But my suspicion here is that it's all related to Bigly, the company that runs the Alex Jones store. My guess is that pretty much this is all at the root of this, and all of that is powered through Shopify, which is a publicly traded company that probably doesn't want to be a part of a very transparent effort to evade a high-profile bankruptcy settlement involving causing emotional distress to grieving family members. So maybe they should shut this shit down. Maybe they don't want to be involved with this, Shopify. I don't know.
Ugh, I mean, hey, anybody wanting to step up, feel free at any time. I feel like there's a vacuum available for the first person with any authority to be like, no.
Shopify does seem like a place where there's like a pressure point. Like, because if those if those stores are not able to run through Shopify, all of that infrastructure and everything falls apart. And Alex, I don't think has another option of, well, maybe there would be, but it doesn't exist at the present.
Conservify, the Nazi version of Shopify.
Probably doesn't have as good a processing
reliability. Yeah,
so
that's
why they use Shopify.
They only use Bitcoin.
In looking through some business records, I also came across the Texas Secretary of State's filing for Alex Jones Network LLC, which is a totally different company Alex's
Completely
InfoWars.
Different.
He doesn't own it or anything.
Not
it's
at all related
separate.
To him. In fact, I don't even know who Alex Jones is.
Incidentally, the Alex Jones Network was filed as a business on September 15th, 2024, and the only person in the filing is the managing member, Chase Brendan Geyser.
How about that?
That's right. Chase's middle name is Brendan because of course it is.
Because of course it is.
Yeah. So if you're keeping score, Alex's new network is owned and managed by his most sycophantic employee. His new pill operation sponsor is run by his dad and his brother-in-law. And his merch store is run by his knife guy who should probably be going to jail for assaulting a cop on January 6th. This is all like comedic levels of obviously corrupt. And if there's no consequences for any of this, I'm going to fuck around and turn into the Riddler. As it turns out, this very real company, First United American Companies, put in the highest bid in terms of a cash offer.
Hmm.
They bid $3.5 million, which makes me furious. If I knew it was going to be that low, I still don't think I could have raised the money, but I would have tried. I thought it was going to be in the low eight figures, but I guess that very few people are actually interested in Alex's business. It only has value to his co-conspirators or to a business like The Onion who want to buy it as a pseudo-joke. Though they put in the highest cash bid, the trustee is not required to accept the highest bid in cash, but is required by a fiduciary duty to accept what is, in their judgment, the best bid for the creditors. In this case, some of the Connecticut plaintiffs decided to waive portions of their settlements, which has the effect of reducing the credit burden Alex has considerably. This lowering of the credit burden on Alex helps them as the primary creditors and also helps the other creditors that Alex owes money to because it makes them more likely to be paid off as his overall burden is lower. This is a deal that the trustee can very easily justify accepting, and I don't think it'll have any problem if it gets heard in court. But it's perfect for a little bit of time wasting and narrative building. So we see that this is how Alex is going to proceed. But like, I think you could make a pretty solid argument that like you'd have a responsibility to accept this offer, even though the other one is higher in cash.
Sure, sure. I mean,
even just from a pure financial standpoint.
Why would anybody apply things that make sense to what has occurred?
Mm-hmm.
Has it worked in the past?
I don't know. That's all I can do, though.
If a knife cannot cut a watermelon, is it a knife? Then what's the point of using it to try and cut a watermelon?
Have you ever seen that knife crafting show? That show where they make knives?
Forged in Fire?
I think so.
I have.
I think they will have you chop something, and some knives cut, some don't.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still a knife.
If the knife cuts, then it is a useful tool in this regard.
But if it breaks, it's still a knife.
It is still a knife, but it is not useful in this regard. So in this sense, I imagine that applying reason, logic, and in fact, maybe the actual interpretation of the law, normally a very useful tool, an extremely sharp knife, appears to have no effect on watermelons these days.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord knows what could happen.
Yeah.
I allow for the possibility of literal angels in the outfield to carry the judge to a place where he can say whatever he wants.
Well, it may happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, far be it from me. I've been wrong about pretty much every prediction I've made. So, like, yeah.
I'm going to go with Angels in the outfield because I'm comfortable being wrong about that one.
So one thing that I think might happen, but also maybe not, is that Alex is probably trying to get himself in trouble with defaming the trustee.
Good call.
Because he is straight up accusing this dude of crimes.
Great.
So now... the documents have been turned over by the U.S. trustee from the Justice Department of what they actually did, and it's way worse than what is even in the news. And I just started learning this at 7:45 this morning, and I've been just going over all of this. And quite frankly, I am basically speechless right now. I've also basically been authorized, you know, that yes, what I'm saying is completely accurate on its face, on the record. And what is that? What was done is cut and dry, absolutely criminal in every aspect. And then right before I went live on air, a few minutes before, I got the news, and I got it from very good sources. I double-checked it, and anytime you're in a new studio that you haven't been using, you know, it's a nice studio and works well, there's, you know, issues and new crews working together, same old crew, but mixed in, and there was some little issues.
You mad at the new crew?
I get really ready to launch before I go on air. And it's like a thought process starts going. And if there's one screw up at the start, I can handle it. Two, three, four, five, it starts getting to me. And I'm not mad. I'm just not at a place to be able to do the show right now. And I'm just being honest with viewers and listeners. I'm going to have to get my composure. And I'm going to have to relaunch the live show.
Day one at the new studio.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It is day one. Mm-hmm. Things are not going to go perfectly.
No,
it's
but
day
they,
one.
But they went exactly like they do on day 1,000 million. Studio.
Absolutely.
Still going to be furious about something not going right and have to restart the show.
Take the day off.
It would be good.
For God's sakes.
So also, the U.S. trustee, Chris Murphy, he needs to sue Alex. Alex is directly accusing him of committing crimes within the context of accepting this bid, which is defamatory. It has the potential to severely impact Murphy's public image and professional credibility, and if Alex can't back up his claims, he needs to be held responsible for this. Whatever form that takes, whatever.
I hate to say it, but if I was Alex, I would defame the shit out of everybody.
No.
What are you going to do to me?
I
would defame the shit out of people.
I would understand that in his position.
Yeah.
But that is a situation where if everyone starts taking it very seriously,
sure,
then you will not be able to operate this smoothly.
I'm sure.
There will come a time if people stand up enough.
Yeah. Totally. I'm just saying that if I was Alex, I would just bet that you wouldn't. You know, I'm going to win most of the time.
If he gets buried under a barrage of people being like, I demand a retraction and an apology for this. Here's my lawyer.
Sure.
If he did, then his time would be spent on air making these retractions, clarifying things. People would see through, like, a lot of this facade, even if it doesn't end up bankrupting him through the, you know, through settlements and stuff like that.
Maybe.
There would be, well, we'll see by the end of this what you think.
I mean, maybe. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that by the end of this episode, you might get a little bit of a sense that this could work.
I'm
excited.
Because
Alex changes his tune considerably.
I'm excited.
So he has some big news, but like he said, he's got to go off air.
Sure.
Something's not working out. God's telling him to go off air.
Yeah.
This is historic, what's happened. I've not announced what's happened yet, what has been discovered. And I was almost not going to cover it right away so I could think about it some. And then that must have been God telling me when everything that we did just wouldn't even go out over air. So I'm not meant to be on air right now. That's God. Actually, that's God telling me that I shouldn't do the show right now. And that's what's going to happen now. So we've got really important information and news while I'm reflecting. Might be 5 minutes. Might not come back on today. So that's just where we are. So I am trying my best here.
You're doing good, man. You're doing good.
This raises an interesting question.
What's that?
I have for symbolism from God. Mm-hmm. All right. So God turns off the lights.
Yeah.
Right. And you go, well, God doesn't want me to have lights today.
Obviously.
Obviously. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, my question is that a sign that you should listen to, right, that can be then, like, he can turn the lights back on, but you still go, I'm not supposed to have lights on today.
Mm-hmm.
Or is God determining the exact length that you can and cannot have lights on?
I think that if you follow this train of thought too much, you can't do anything.
Right.
You can't really do... like, everything is exactly as God wants it to be.
Right.
So you turning on the lights is corrupting how he wants you to be in the darkness.
It makes sense.
So if Alex were to fix the problems with the broadcast...
That's what I think.
Then he is subverting God's will.
That is what I believe, yes.
Which really, at a certain point, all you can do is sit in a room, I guess.
I think God is telling Alex to sit in a room quietly.
Everything in its natural state, devoid of any influence from
is
you...
is quiet in a room.
That's what God wants. And if God doesn't want that, he'll change it.
I like that. I like that you've discovered inertia through God.
So Alex does go off air for a little bit. Then he comes back and he has some big news.
All right.
Again, the Bloomberg headline you people think is shocking. Because I said this while the hearing was going on yesterday. Angry judge questions transparency of onion bid for InfoWars. No, he said the auction wasn't real and didn't happen.
Odd thing
judge
for him to say.
The Onion's InfoWars takeover to review bankruptcy auction process.
There is no spoon.
You have to understand, that's not even the big news. That would normally be the big news. The Onion didn't buy InfoWars Wednesday. They didn't have an auction. They didn't pay money. They were given it. It was a sham. On its face, prima facie. But that's not even the big news.
Oh, my God. These aren't even the big news. He's got big news, and these aren't even them. He's covering the not big news.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking was the mistake. You got a prenup. Okay? So, like, if we're going to do this process, I get that the trustee and the courts and all of them have like a way they do this thing. But what you got to do is prenup with Alex and be like, you tell me the exact circumstances under which you will not, you'll just shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. At the end of this process, I don't care what they are. Fucking you make them. Clown cars. I don't give a shit. At the end of it, you will shut up, won't you? Mm. And they'll write it down that you have to shut up.
But there won't be something.
Right. But then whenever they don't shut up at the end of it, we don't even have to have a hearing or anything. They just go like, ah, ha ha, shut up. We have the shut up paper. It's like a deal with the devil.
But there is no like terms that Alex is going to agree to that'll be like, and then I'll shut up.
That's the answer to your own question then. If he's not going
there
to agree
no
to
state.
Any terms.
No.
If he's not going to agree to any terms, then there's no point in bothering with terms.
I guess.
Just call him out on it. Either sign the document that you're willing to take responsibility for this process, or you don't get the process. It's a sweetheart deal just for Alex. Mm. I'm the devil.
Okay.
I figured it out. I think I am the devil.
Okay.
All right.
You're making a compelling case.
I think I've got
it. Have you been showing Alex clocks lately?
Okay. Now, people say that that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
People
to
have
make
some...
it, to mess with his head like that and to tell him what time it is in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then tell him it's God telling him that.
And then tell him when to stop peeing.
That's what I just find fun.
Yeah. We got to get through how we get through.
Yeah.
So those aren't the big stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the big news.
Yeah.
Real pump fake kind
right,
of.
Right, right, right.
So here's the big news.
There's really three big stories I'm about to break that affect everybody. And the first one is Trump's taking the gloves off. Elon Musk is taking the gloves off.
Dog bites man.
And the other two are about what has been discovered and what has happened and what has already been done about 25 minutes ago.
Man,
now I
dog.
Told the bad guys yesterday, and I put up videos last night before this was 100% confirmed. I mean, the corruption, that there wasn't an auction, that it was bid collusion, felonies, all that's just open and shut, done. Red-handed. Rats leaving sinking ship, turning on each other. Already that happened today.
So he's definitely accusing some crimes there. But yep. I like that what happened 25 minutes ago is a real, you've already ingested the poison,
I
Mr.
like it.
Bond.
Yeah. I like it quite a bit.
I've already hit the doomsday switch.
The antidote is right here. Now give me the diamond. Yeah.
So the three big stories are Alex whining about his own persecution a bunch and him saying that his big, strong father figures, Trump and Musk, are once again taking the gloves off. Seems like these gloves keep on coming off.
So
like,
weird.
Yeah.
Why bother putting them back on the time?
I would love it if one day Alex was like, all right, here's the big news. Trump's putting the gloves back on.
No. I think
they have
to be
getting put back on.
I'm saying there should be a constant glove-o-meter
right. Of
how on or off the gloves are at any given point
like
in time.
Like a color-coded terror meter.
Absolutely. Do we have a single Michael Jackson glove scenario?
Uh-oh. Mittens. We got mittens.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. The nuclear codes are open.
Yeah. We got... We got fingerless biker gloves.
Threat level workout gloves.
Yeah, that's serious. So, in terms of the vote collusion thing that Alex is talking about, that he's accusing the other side of.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this a little bit. I wanted to play a little moment from our last episode when Alex called Steve Bannon out of the blue.
Okay.
Just listen to this little section again.
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck is the story here?
Hey, Steve.
So yep. I pointed out last time that what the fuck is the story, that could have a lot of different meanings, and that it was too bad that Alex cut Bannon off. Alex was clearly trying to make sure that Bannon didn't say anything that he shouldn't say on air, thinking they were just on the phone, but I think Alex was too late. If you really listen to that clip carefully, as I did over and over again, just before and while Alex is cutting him off, Bannon says, I thought Roger, before Alex drowns him out.
Mm-hmm.
Bannon was saying that he thought Roger was buying InfoWars, and he clearly knows that Alex has information about what the fuck the story is. Bannon's tone in that moment belies that he knows that Alex knows about the bids.
Yeah.
If Alex hadn't cut him off and told them they were on the air, there's a good chance Bannon would have said something even more damning for Alex's whole pretense that he's putting on of being uninvolved.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
I mean, he might as well have been like, I thought when we talked about this, Roger was going to purchase InfoWars using the money that you gave him that you're not supposed to have, so you can continue owning the thing that you're not supposed to own.
Right.
He might as well have said that.
Now, I think it would be really funny if Roger had ended up buying InfoWars and then being like, joke's over, dude. I got you on a contract. Fuck off. I'm your boss
now. Now it's time to really buckle down and get to work.
Right. There's like a... kind of like sound or whatever, and Roger puts on a top hat and he's like, now I'm in my super villain form.
Finally, get to monocle out.
So nice to meet you, Alex.
Oh, did you know that I've been bored recently?
Did you take me seriously, Alex? I also think it would be really funny if, since Chase Geyser kind of owns.
Yeah, again,
Alex
also
Jones
very
Network,
funny.
If he just
very
decided
funny.
To like, be like, fuck you, Alex.
Yep. Yeah, you have,
I'm your boss now.
You have put my name in official documents, which you think still does not make them official, but I can choose to make them official.
Mm-hmm.
That's how official works.
Yeah.
You have given me the keys to your car.
You cannot own this company legally.
Yeah.
And that's why you used me on this document.
Right.
And now I have leverage over you.
And your real threat to me is twofold. It is either you can fire me, which... no, you cannot.
Uh-huh.
Or you can hurt me, which is against the law in a real way, as opposed to the other ones that we've been dealing with.
Alex has got to be real comfortable that Chase is a real dipshit.
Totally.
Like, and on board.
I mean,
for him to go that. Like, cause why not use Rob Dew? Or why not? Like, there's a whole lot of other people that are just as closely associated with Alex that you'd think he trusts more.
I mean,
very weird.
If, as people theorized way back, when we first met Brendan, which is what I'm going to call him, that he was somehow a double agent, owning one of the major money-making operations and still allowing Alex to have it kind of turns all that to shit.
Yeah, I don't know what the reveal would be.
I own all of your stuff and I'm burning it, or like the Joker, right. I'm burning the bottom half of the pile of money.
But I don't know what you could be waiting for.
Yeah, that's a fair
point.
You're totally right.
Yeah. So the night before this, they had something of a hearing, and Alex has heard that there's a criminal investigation that's been opened.
All right.
About the steal. They stole his company from him.
The steal?
The fake auction.
Oh, shit.
Then the hearing happens. Goes on for a couple hours. My lawyers, other lawyers, Musk lawyers, they're all there. We need time to go over the transcripts, look at this to make sure what we saw actually happened. Then Murray gives the documents to the highest bidder, which he's supposed to do by law, finally. They actually get what he did, pledging my future earnings. That those cases aren't appeals. You can't pledge somebody's earnings if you've won the case. And the Supreme Court said Jones is, you know, liable. That hasn't happened. But you can't pledge that. In 13th Amendment, a bunch of other laws.
I'm sorry?
And we learn at 8 o'clock at night just how bad it was. Then I learn from individuals high up, multiple sources, that there's major interest in this by President Trump and by Elon Musk. Then my lawyers start getting calls, and other lawyers start getting calls from the media saying they hear this, and that there is a criminal investigation of this already going on by the federal government in Houston. Then I get more calls this morning. And the people involved have now reached out and said, we didn't know this was illegal. We were told to do this. We'll give you everything. We don't want to go to prison.
Fun.
Then I get the call that the judge could do an emergency hearing now today. And a lot more I'm not going to get into yet. And then 3 minutes before we go live, this has been going on for hours. I hadn't been told because people are busy. The U.S. trustee, Chris Murray, calls and says, look, I made a mistake. We shouldn't have shut down InfoWars.
It happens.
We shouldn't have turned off the broadcast. The judge said I didn't have the authority. You can go back to your studios. We're putting InfoWars back up. Now let's put it on screen. InfoWars.com is back up live. If that isn't proof to everybody, what I'm saying here, there it is.
It's not proof of that. But so we now have the trustee has called and apologized and said, we made a mistake. Oh, no. Alex has people calling and being like, oh, we'll give you everything. We're flipped. Oh, no. Who are those people who have flipped and are going to tell him everything? They just don't want to go to prison. Who are those people? If not, he's trying to imply that it's the trustee.
I feel like I am more than aware that the prisons are overpopulated.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am also fairly certain they are not overpopulated with trustee-related offenses.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Also, the trustee didn't do anything bad in this case.
Sure. Well, we don't know that yet until there's been a criminal investigation by Elon Musk. Okay?
True. That is true. Yes. The federal government that is not under the control of Trump yet is going to get to the bottom of this on Alex's behalf.
Right.
Because Trump won the election.
Right.
This is dumb. Alex, when he has to present something that justifies this idea that there is a criminal investigation, it's a guest on Steve Bannon's podcast saying there should be.
Hey, there you go.
That's what that comes down to.
There you go.
So, cool.
Okay, that's an interesting thought process, all right? So, you're President Trump. You've got all the Republicans that you need to do the stuff. How can you pitch a flyer where you allow Alex Jones to rewrite laws about Alex Jones.
Yes.
So like, so Alex gets to write all Alex specific laws that only apply to him. Like in the bankruptcy process, Alex Jones gets to keep all Alex Jones related Alex Jones materials because Alex Jones blank. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like the history has shown that he is a colossal asshole.
True.
And maybe on one on a level that no one has ever dealt with or we're not accustomed to seeing.
Sure, sure.
So maybe what you do is you say, all right, you get to make up your own rules, but none of it sets a precedent.
Right, right. Just, it's just you.
Yeah.
You have a weird get out of jail free card.
But it doesn't apply to other people.
Nope.
Like whatever ends up happening in the courts, other people might still get into. You are just like, we have to pretend that your reality is real.
Absolutely.
Or else you're going to bother
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. There's like a force field around you of like you have the Black Diamond Law card. Mm-hmm. Nobody, people just don't fuck with you anymore. They're just like, fine.
I feel like Trump could do that.
That'd be an interesting thought experiment.
But he might not.
Which is the danger.
Because Alex apparently got a little bit chewed out on the morning of the 15th by Trump. And Musk. Apparently they are upset that he got bought by The Onion.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not going to say any more, but let's just say Trump and Elon Musk have already met about this. And I got chewed out, actually, yesterday morning. Because they didn't understand exactly what was going on. And they, you know, nice folks were, say, behind the scenes, you know, some folks were like, what do you need? And I'd already told them, I said, this is all rigged, and I'm not going to, you know, I said, it should be better if you want to help launch this big network and stuff, which we're ready to do. Let's just wait, and let's let this process play out. I said, I've got a gut feeling they're going to bite off more than they can chew. And, so the big dogs did not enter this.
So if you're understanding what Alex is claiming about himself here, he rigged the auction.
Yeah.
He told people not to bid. Someone like an Elon Musk or a representative of Elon Musk, don't bid on this. Put the money into the business that I'm creating. I feel like it might be illegal.
I mean, sure. My question is, all right, so these people are chewing Alex out. Why? My question is why?
Well, Alex does kind of explain that. See, this is where it's like, okay, none of this is real.
Right.
So it doesn't make sense from a human motivation.
Sure.
But Alex is like, these people thought that I was in on it with the Onion buying my company.
Oh.
And that's why they were chewing him out. Because he predicted that they would steal the auction and rig it and all of this.
Right.
And so because he was so smart and knew what was going to happen, he must have been in on the plot, which doesn't make any sense.
That's
very
insane.
Stupid.
Yeah.
But it's how Alex rationalizes
that. That makes sense from an Alex standpoint. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking from like a chewing out standpoint, because then the thought occurred to me that are they relying on Alex for credible information about the present day?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to know what's going on, you would call the lawyer, and you would be like, even if you talk to Alex, you'd be like, Alex lied to me about this. What is going on? Right? So there's no point in chewing out Alex. What, is he going to tell the truth?
No, but it might just be fun.
It might be fun just to yell at Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get the exchange you're going to have with him is going to be different than if you're talking to a lawyer, and maybe you just need a charge.
That's fair.
You know, maybe you're having you had your second cup of coffee and you're feeling crazy.
See, now that's the human motivation that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a show.
Yeah. If they just wanted to yell it out, if he's like, hey, they just wanted to yell at me because I fucked up, then that would make sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So I heard this clip and I mean, I don't really have anything to say other than, like, imagine it's someone other than Alex saying this.
Okay.
And think about how worried you would be about their well-being.
Okay.
A fake auction for a fake purchase. Not just that they didn't get the purchase. The media said they got it, as the judge said. No. I mean, it wasn't even real money that they put at a lesser amount to get it. I mean, that's, like, perfect. Like, perfect inversion. Like, God is perfect and Satanism is inversion. It's everything is a lie. Everything is BS. It's a work of art. It's like, how do you, I mean, and I get why with other people this works, because it's just, it's like New York Times articles. I use this one all the time. There's been so many, but it's like, oh, I worked for Alex Jones. It was terrible or whatever. And then it's like you read it and 99% isn't true. But it's this elaborate fantasy land of lies and twisted BS, and it's so complex. And you're reading it about yourself going, is any of this? No, none of that ever happened. What? What? Jones walks into the coffee room and grabs the black woman's ass and says, I want to have babies and marry you.
Okay.
What? Zero happened. Jones was mad at employees for not working hard. So he walked up to a fish tank, called them into a conference room, and grabbed the goldfish out and ate it and said, get to work. And I went, that's the Wolf of Wall Street. Any idiot would, I mean, they literally, they're like, let's put Wolf of Wall Street in there. And they go, wait, it's better. Let's add Finding Nemo. The fish was about to be given to that employee's niece. There was never a fish tank in the building.
What is happening right now?
There was no fish being eaten. There was no niece. But you read that, and it's some kind of, I think the CIA must be writing these or something, because when you really read it, you're trying to, wait a minute, those are movies. They know, everybody already knows about Wolf of Wall Street. They already know about Finding Nemo, but they don't remember. When you read that, people feel like they've seen that before. I eat the goldfish. Oh, yeah, it was for the niece. And the whole thing is about Finding Nemo, you know, the fish, you know, being grabbed for the niece. And then you start reading other articles by other people, and you see, wait, that's from a movie. That's from a movie.
Yeah.
That's from a movie. So
yeah.
They're not just plagiarizing. I figured it out. They're doing that because people who are unconscious, and most of the public's now in kind of a mesmerized near sleep level, the studies out on that from all the TV and stuff, people are like, ugh, kind of NPCs.
Sure.
An NPC reads that and goes, yeah, because their brain has seen that. Their brain knows somebody ate the fish that was the niece's.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, wow.
Wow, indeed. So Josh Owens's article from the New York Times didn't claim that Alex ate someone's goldfish.
Sure.
He claimed that Alex threw someone's goldfish in the trash. From the article, quote, once a coworker stopped by the office with a pet fish he was taking home to his niece. It swam in circles in a small transparent bag. When Jones saw the bag balanced upright on the desk in the conference room, he emptied it into a garbage can. Alex has changed the allegation of this to he ate it, so he can claim that the CIA is just attacking him with movie plots. Alex creates fake versions of the claims against him because they're straw men that are easier to attack. Instead of dealing seriously with the complaints brought by the Sandy Hook families, for example, Alex pretends that he was accused of peeing on a child's grave. It's an accusation no one made, but he feels comfortable defending himself about because he is definitively innocent of that. If he were to deal with the real substantive complaints about his behavior and coverage, he would not have that shield of being definitively innocent, which is a fundamental part of his woe is me, everyone hates me for being too good shtick. This entire righteous indignation is mostly just him being righteously indignant about fake things no one's accusing him of. He operates this way because he's a moral coward. But also, if you do listen to that last clip, the way that I set it up, imagine it's someone else saying those things. You would rightly think that they were severely paranoid and they needed help. I figured it all out. The CIA is writing fake stories to make me look bad, and in order to trick everyone into believing them, they use the plots of movies. On a completely unrelated story, let me tell you about how God has granted me superpowers that weirdly mirror plot points from the Matthew McConaughey movie Interstellar. Like, this is a person who you should not look at as anything other than tragic.
It is a testament to the way we interact with people depends first upon their baseline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is your baseline behavior. So this in this direction is crazy, and in this direction is, you know. Whereas with Alex, if your baseline is this, everybody's like, no, that's just him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to worry about that.
Well, I think
it's a weird societal trait we have.
I think that anybody who actually listens to his show is acclimated to this.
Yeah.
And we'll hear him talk about the CIA writing these articles about him based on movies in order to trick people and all this. And they'll be like, whoa. And then everybody else doesn't listen to his show, so they don't know he says this shit.
Right.
And everyone is just like, they don't realize that this is crazy,
this
but
is
it's
the
also normal.
Yeah. This is the baseline.
Yes.
They think that they're turning the frogs gay is the baseline.
No.
Wrong baseline, fellas.
The turning the frogs gay is deeply respectable on the Alex scale
of
things.
Yeah.
It's him operating almost at the top of his intelligence.
I agree.
Yeah.
Now, here's another theory that I've just come up with. All right. What if he genuinely does not know how to read in such a way that all he does is scan for certain code words? Then, because this code word does exist, he correlates that to an image that he remembers from a movie.
Yeah.
Thus, creating an article that does include actual movie plots because he can't actually read the words. So he figures by putting this word in here, he's filling in the blank with the plot.
It's possible, but then you'd also have to add on another layer of, like, he always makes mistakes in the same direction.
Mm.
Like, he never ends up reading an article that reminds him of a movie that challenges his belief.
That's a good point.
Or anything. He never has to, like, wrestle with anything.
True.
So I think there's a denial element to it, too, even if there is.
Totally.
Whatever that is you're describing.
Absolutely.
So I got kind of bored because we're here this day after Alex's business gets bought by a joke site. And it's just him complaining and talking about himself. And I'm like, just give me something.
Mm-hmm.
Give me anything. And thankfully, we get something.
Mm.
Here is the clip. Project Veritas released undercover video of a UN manager admitting that war is the only way to make serious cash and that lazy staff are rooting for warmonger Nikki Haley to be president over Trump. The United Nations manager of peacekeepers has said the quiet part out loud. Yeah, the peacekeepers are the warmongers. This is a powerful. The full report is going up on Infowars.com. Now back up. The sale did not go through. It was not a real auction.
So this has red flags all over it. Like, why is Nikki Haley's candidacy coming up in this story? Like, it feels very out of date, or at very least, it seems like that's kind of an indication that this story is not a bombshell. This is a clip that was released by the new Project Veritas, now with 100% less James O'Keefe. So Alex really shouldn't think they're putting out good Patriot content.
Right.
They're supposed to have been taken over by the globalists who forced O'Keefe out, but I guess who gives a shit about character consistency or object permanence? When I heard Alex bring this clip up, I thought, who cares?
Yeah.
It makes total sense that someone at the UN could say that war has a financial aspect to it and people often make more money off war than peace.
Yeah.
That's not surprising in the least. So it seems like this was just going to be a standard Veritas dud.
Yeah.
However, when he actually played the clip, I was baffled by this. This was nuts.
So people are employed at the UN that actually don't work. At the point that people every single day at the end of the building, people
are
going to work.
Really?
A lot of lazy people.
Really?
It's an environment where, again, you have a stable job. You're not going to be fired. You often don't get evaluated. I mean, only if you make money in the UN is if you, like, go to war. A war for a country, because then you get paid more.
Really?
Hazard pay. You know, if you're living in, like, Darfur and you could die, they're going to pay you more.
Amazing. Like,
so this guy was saying that people who work at the UN in lower-level roles can become somewhat complacent since he feels there aren't a ton of reviews or possibilities for advancement and you have a stable job. The way that one would get a pay raise would be to serve in an area where you would get hazard pay, like a country at war. Like, this is such a perfect encapsulation of what's wrong with the conspiracy ecosystem that Alex is the face of. There is a real serious problem about war profiteering, and it's something that we need to address if we want any chance at a decent future for all of humankind. Too many companies have financial incentives that are not served by peace, like some of the companies run by noted defense contractor Elon Musk, and we need to not be naive about this. But this undercover video is a guy expressing that he feels the only way to get slightly better hourly rates as a low-level employee at the UN is to be serving in a dangerous area. This is not him expressing, like, a motive to exacerbate or continue wars, which is what Alex wants to present this video as being evidence of. It's a pathetic misuse of information that actually serves to make it more difficult to address the real problem it's pretending to be concerned about. And that is so indicative of the way Alex operates.
Yeah.
And that's why I felt like this was like a shocking clip. Why would you do this?
I find it fascinating that they like just got a regular old exit interview clip. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, hey, I put in my 2 weeks notice and they're like, okay, tell us about your experience working here. Is there anything? There's no opportunity for advancement. And I feel like the only way to get a raise is through
a lot
Hazard
of people
Bay.
Aren't working as hard as they could be because yeah. You just, you know, you get in a rut. You're
government waste. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, you know, like. And then we'd all go like, yeah, that sounds about right. I feel like that sounds about right.
Yeah, I've been in jobs where hazard pay is a thing.
Yeah,
and
makes
like,
sense.
I understand what this, like, it reveals such a, when you play this clip in the context that Alex is trying to use it in,
yeah.
It reveals so much about how fraudulently you operate.
Yeah.
And to me, I feel like it's worse than not doing it. But it doesn't matter. The people who are the consumers for the Veritas type media, they won't even recognize probably that this is what this guy is talking about. They'll just think the UN admitted they start wars for money.
They're primed to believe a thing, and then they're given a sound effect that will give them, you know, comfort there.
And
you know?
To not engage with that sound effect critically.
Right. Because you don't need to. Mm-hmm. What they need to do is tell you what you want to hear and then give you a sound effect.
Right.
You know, like that's...
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
So, Alex, I told you earlier in the show, you might get a different perspective on people suing him.
Sure.
And I think that this next clip is where that begins to become clear.
Okay.
Because obviously... Someone told Alex to shut the fuck up.
All right.
He cannot say these things about the trustee.
He did get chewed out.
Yes.
All right.
And they just had this fake auction that was a private secret sale masquerading as an auction. Now, let me just say that's my opinion. And it was my opinion last night that I would be given InfoWars back and that we would be put back on the air because I could... see what the judge said. I could read the news articles that had quotes of him. I could talk to my lawyers that were there. And he said this wasn't an auction. And we got to have a hearing on this. So if that wasn't an auction, they didn't get InfoWars. Now, I'm not a lawyer. That's my opinion. Well, now that's admitted. So does that mean down the road something might happen? Does that mean the judge might just be sick of it and say, shut it down? That could even happen. Does it mean they're going to have another auction? Does it mean they're going to say, well, the real highest bidder got it? That's probably what everybody thinks should happen in the law. I don't know. That's my opinion of what might happen. You know, Chris Murray's, the trustee's lawyer, was calling up my lawyers and saying, oh, Jones is saying Chris Murray apologized, you know, to him. He didn't do that. I said a lot of stuff in the first hour. I don't have a teleprompter, and I haven't gone back and reviewed it, but that was not my intent either. He said to me on the phone in front of Bob yesterday, and he told Bob, I'm sorry, this is a bummer or whatever, but no hard feelings. Not like I'm sorry for what I did. You know, I'm sorry this is a big hassle for you. I know, no hard feelings. I mean, that's what I remember him saying. I got it recorded. I mean, we'll see if that was exactly what was said. But that's what they're calling up about saying isn't true. Oh, okay, so what else was wrong? Because you can come on, Chris Murray. I got your number. I can call you. Would you like to come on? Right now. Come on the show. I mean that.
So this is an amazing moment. This is Alex realizing in real time and on air that he can't just make up whatever he wants about the trustee with no consequences. Alex has directly alleged on this episode that Chris Murphy called him and apologized about the sale and said, we made a mistake. Give you InfoWars back. This is Alex alleging that Murphy admitted to fraud, which is why Alex that's what he's accused him of on this show.
Yeah.
Alex clearly got a message from his lawyer that he needs to cut that out. So now you hear this mealy-mouthed bullshit. The apology and admission of guilt is maybe now just a guy being polite. Alex has tapes, but he's not going to play them. Murphy can come on the show and clear his name by letting Alex use him as a prop for this publicity stunt. Why wouldn't he do that? That must mean I'm right.
Yeah.
This is so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex is probably like, man, if Norm was a bankruptcy lawyer, I wouldn't have to deal with this shit.
Mm.
Ugh.
But this is
a buffer.
This is what you could hear a bunch of.
Yeah.
If people were just like, all right, lawyer time. I'm going. Obviously, people can't afford to do that, but some pseudo public figures and legal folks can. So maybe the trustee here is in a particular situation where they're able to be like, you can't say that shit about me.
I mean, yeah, somebody was watching.
Yeah.
Somebody was watching. There Hurrah. You go.
And that's maybe that's the answer. Just constantly like ask for demand retractions.
Man,
stuff.
I'd rather give him the fucking Black Diamond Law card. Jesus Christ.
So Alex has a guest on.
Uh-huh.
He's a general. He's a Flynn. He hangs out with Papa John.
Man, I was, for some reason, in the back of my head, I was like, this is the right time for Stubblebine, forgetting that he's dead.
He's dead.
He's long dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with the aliens.
Yeah.
So Flynn is on, and I don't really give a fuck, but he says something that I just thought was really weird.
There's going to be some bumps. Trump is going to experience some bumps. But don't let those bumps, you know, stop our forward momentum. So I want people to understand, we've broken through the hedgerows. We're going to push these guys back, but we cannot declare victory over Europe just yet. I love the fact that Trump is operating out of Mar-a-Lago. The fact that he's operating out of Mar-a-Lago, personally for me, makes me feel better for his own security.
So to be totally clear, Flynn is using the Battle of the Hedges just after the D-Day invasion as a metaphor for where we are in the fight. I guess the first administration was D-Day, or maybe that was the 2024 election, but this period here before Trump gets back in office is the Battle of the Hedges, where we're breaking through the hedges. That's all good and well, but why does Flynn think that the objective of the United States in World War II was to declare victory over Europe? There was one side that wanted to do that, and that was Hitler's side. The U.S. was on the side of the European allies who'd been invaded by the Nazis. So there's a weird insight into his mind. Let's not declare a victory over Europe yet.
I mean, it does make sense if you track his ideology from Nazi Germany through America.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I'm saying, is it's strange that insight...
I mean, you know...
It's revealing a little.
Yeah, it's like my grandfather was a Nazi scientist. I mean, I don't know how he got to America, you know, like one of those things.
It was legal immigration.
Yeah.
So, fuck Flynn, don't care about him, mm-hmm. and he's not saying anything all that interesting, and Papa John's not there. He screwed himself over, because now every time he's going to be on, I'm going to be like, where's the pizza man?
Man.
Where's the pies?
I think, here's what I think Flynn is exemplifying, and this is the thing I think that is going to eventually unite us all, regardless of what we believe. The government needs to fix a thing and then be done. You know what I mean? Like, there's never going... It's always... Oh, there's going to be bumps in the road. Oh, we'll get there. And it's never... Like, fucking cure polio. They cure polio, they can fix a thing.
Sure.
Pick a thing and then fix it. You know what I'm saying?
Here's what Flynn can fix. The very serious pizza shortage.
Right?
He knows
that's
what guy.
But I mean, seriously, no, that's it. Everybody gets a pizza. That would be more convincing, because it's like, oh, a thing. You fixed a thing.
Well, it's a small problem of I don't have a pizza right now.
More important is that they did it.
Well, I'm hungry.
Instead of being like, oh, I mean, sure, you can have some pizza. Ah, god damn it, fix a thing.
So most of this episode has been Alex whining and saying that this isn't a real auction.
Right.
The trustee committed these crimes, these felonies on their face.
Yep.
And then being scolded and being like, look, it's just my opinion. And so everything changes to these are my opinions. His tone entirely flips.
Yeah.
He's still complaining and saying he got screwed over in this auction, but he's being mindful of repeating, like, my opinions, I'm not a lawyer.
Sure.
A lot of caveats. And I think it starts to drive him insane.
I think you've described a lot of things that he's done, but I think what you've described is justifying the reason he's on air.
Mm-hmm. And he just sounds nuts.
Bad guys mess with me a little too much. So I'd been a little afraid to do it. But I went ahead and flipped the switch. And everybody's flipping the switch right now. It's called an uprising. It's called a global awakening. It's called humanity coming back from the dead. All right. Let's talk about RFK Jr.
Let's not.
Let's talk about him.
Let's not. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. It's about time we talked about RFK Jr.
When RFK Jr. was running a third-party campaign that Alex thought was going to hurt Trump, he declared war upon him at his house.
Yep.
And then now that he's with Trump, he's a great guy.
Yep.
Can't wait for him to head up the HHS.
Mm-hmm.
But that seemed nuts, right? That tone?
Yeah. 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 But you know, when you throw in RFK, that nothing seems nuts anymore. Like the moment you say those letters, I go, oh, what's he going to behead today?
That's what's fascinating about that clip.
Yeah.
Is that the beginning of it, Alex has this grumbly, kind of weird, bad guys pissed me off. And you're really upset about that. And then he's like, now let's talk about RFK Jr. But in a kind of normal, serious tone.
And that's
more upsetting.
Yeah. It's all terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
This whole world.
Yeah.
Nuts.
So Alex spends a lot of time talking about how he needs money and he wants money.
Yeah,
you should give
sense.
Him money.
Do you mean justifying why he's on air?
Well, maybe, because just kind of making noises. Which is
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be while I'm fighting the New World Order. Let's say I'm like a starfighter blasting the enemy TIE fighters, and my energy level's way down, and I just ignore it because I'm like going around in the fight, and all of a sudden, ship turns off. And I'm like, ah. And so I'm like watching it, blank, energy, danger. And I'm like, destroying the enemy, and I'm down to like a half a life. And I'm like, hey, guys, I got half a life left. Will you put one more on? Like you're playing Galaga? You know, you're down to one life, and I'm like, oh, all of a sudden you go, bloop, oh, another life. Oh, thank you. I'd really like, maybe, I love it when you're playing Galaga, there's like six lives, you know what I mean? But you do play harder when you're down to that one life. I've always noticed that. I'm not a huge video game guy. I play a lot of Galaga as a kid. And somewhere around here, I had it in the house. I had like the video console. It's the old-fashioned game. It's got like 20 games on it, Galaga. And I noticed when I'm down to one life, like, I just passed seven levels with one life. So I was like, maybe that's why God always keeps me at one life. I'm just like, this is stressing me out. And you want me up here like, give me money. And I'm watching. And I hate that. But what I really hate is watching one life. And I'm like, I really don't want to start back. Because I hate losing more than I hate begging. And it's not like I'm a baby bird sitting there in the nest doing nothing, going, mommy, give me food. Meep, meep, meep. You know, baby birds, meep, 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 meep. Go to the document camp shot. I like that. Meep, 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 meep. I'll just keep doing it until we go to the document camp shot. Meep, 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 meep. Yeah, there you go. Little beaks going up. So, meep, meep. Let's do it for the rest of the show. Meep, 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 meep.
Wow.
It's kind of fun. Meep, 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 meep. It's like a new mantra. Meep, 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 meep. Meep, 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 meep. Maybe that's Elon Musk communication. He'll like call up. Oh, I saw the transmission from Mars. Like, meep, 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 meep. Like a Sesame Street. I was never a big Sesame Street fan when I was a kid because it kind of already come out when I was bigger. I just never liked it compared to Looney Tunes. I guess it was out when I was very little. I guess it came out in 1970 before I was even born. But the point was,
this is amazing.
I didn't really like Sesame Street. But I like Cookie Monster. And I liked the aliens would show up occasionally.
They sure would.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
I felt it. There are two things that I felt in that moment. There are two things I felt. I felt
just two.
I felt 14 years younger. Mm-hmm. I felt like a baby comic just starting out, going to a party, feeling really excited that I was invited because I was like I didn't know anybody and then to like, you know, when you find a new friend group as an adult when you don't have one at all, it's always a little nerve-wracking. And then being cornered at like a party by a far older comedian,
someone who has a like substantially higher status, maybe,
and is a grown adult,
mm-hmm.
far more than.
And then they start making noises at you,
and then they're beep, 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 fucking boop, coked out of their boop, mind, boop, 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 going off, and you're like, oh, there's no reason for me to be here at all. Mm-hmm. I've made a huge mistake,
but you have to put up with it
because, of course, you want to be cool, and then you might get gigs.
And it's happening like this. He's going to make these noises one way or the other.
Yep.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
Yep. And then I had the next feeling, which was that I was now in the crowd at an open mic watching that comic, realizing that was it testing out material on me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was heartbreaking. That was an odd, that was an emotional journey I just went on.
That's a ride you went on.
Yeah. That was intense.
I felt like someone with a like a notepad or like you know, just scribbling notes.
Sure.
I've just asked, how does that make you feel?
Observing. You're yeah. observing. Yeah, yeah.
And I just sort of put my pen in my mouth.
Sure.
I just
sure.
sort of like chew on the cam, like, ugh.
You've got a little teaching group.
What are we gonna do with this? Felt like house.
Now, class, this is not the first time you've seen this before. What yeah. have we done?
Yeah. I felt like I am a doctor, and I am very confident while he's making noises.
Yeah.
Because I know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. He's being passive-aggressive about the people who aren't going to the document cam, and he's going beep, 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 beep yeah. over and over again.
Yeah.
I get this. This is lashing out. I understand. Then, as a doctor, I feel unsafe once he starts talking about how he likes the Cookie Monster.
Yep.
Because now I have no idea why we're doing this. This free association train
yeah.
has gone to Elon Musk, maybe talking to him like a Martian.
Yeah.
Because of the Beep Boop Boop stuff. And then we've jumped to Sesame Street. Oof.
That's when you're, what I see is you doing that. And then as he keeps going, we pan out. And we see that you're wearing bunny ears and lipstick as eyebrows. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we're all in the Looney Tunes bin right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just as crazy as you because yeah. we're both here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam the Eagle thinks he's normal.
Yeah.
He's
yeah, yeah.
not. He's
nope.
a Muppet.
Nope. He is not real.
Yes.
Yep. Like that niece.
Oh, that's the biggest conspiracy of them all.
That
There's
is the
no
biggest.
Niece.
There's no niece. There was never a niece.
Yeah. So the rest of the show is somewhat uninspired.
Yeah.
But after Alex gets off air, he can go back to his old studio.
Oh, my God.
He gets to go back to InfoWars.
Let's just run it back. I feel like everything we've done over the past year has been running something back.
Yep. And that's exactly what happens when he gets back into his old studio.
Oh, my God.
Well, here we are back at the InfoWars studios. I thought it was bought by The Onion. I heard they bought it. I heard they got it at an auction. Turned out it was a rigged auction. Turned out the judge didn't authorize that auction. Turns out they colluded on the bids beforehand and not told the real people that came to bid. Turns out people are really interested to find out what's going on. So let it sink in, folks, that we're back at InfoWars.
So Alex is carrying a sink. You know, he's trying to run back that Elon Musk meme when he bought Twitter. Yep.
There's just no escape.
No.
There's just no escape.
I felt so embarrassed for him
yeah.
when I saw that. I was just like, this is the dorkiest shit I could imagine.
Yeah.
Like, there is a picture of Alex Jones that is... I am wearing a goddamn Revolutionary War hat with a musket, and I'm coming back into my studio, and you motherfuckers, I'm going to put up barbed wire, and fuck you. I built this. I am serious. I mean this. And I don't like that guy.
Sure.
But I get it.
Yeah.
And I
that guy's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that guy, at least, I don't know. I'm going to be worried about him, but I'm going to respect where he's coming from.
He's coming from a real place.
I am not going to respect the guy who recreates an Elon Musk troll meme when he comes back to his studio that he feels he has been wrongly evicted from in a war against the fucking devil. This is baby shit.
Yep.
This is so embarrassing.
Yep.
Make your own meme. Don't do the let this sink in. If you want to be a troll, come up with your own thing. Don't rip off Elon Musk. Who the fuck? This is pathetic. Anyway, I was very disappointed in him.
That's horrible. Okay. Here's a thought that I just had.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you know the depictions of... Let's go with Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Okay? You know how they go into their own personal hells and then... And there's like, you know. There were other people there mm-hmm. in those hells. And then I was like, do they know they're in... his hell or are they in their own personal hell being in his hell, or are they not real and they are just conjured as a figment of his own imagination? And then I wondered, if I was a self-aware version of myself in Alex's hell, would this be any different? You know what I'm saying? Like, if Alex has got an awareness, let's say this is actually, we're actually relatively speaking in the year 3000.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
And Alex has already lived this exact horrible, shameful moment a million times over, right? And only now are you and I realizing that we're actually trapped in his hell. Can we escape?
I mean, we can just do whatever we can do. You know, like,
sure.
I mean, self-actualization in that moment does not grant you freedom.
That's true.
You are still in that hell.
You're in hell.
You can really only make the best of what you got.
And you didn't deserve anything. You didn't do anything.
No. I guess in that hell, I go on vacation. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Yeah. But, man, I just think, like, there's something about this that is the limpest, wettest piece of pasta in terms of defiance.
Yeah.
Because, like, okay, so, like, Socrates in the Apology,
sure.
He famously was like, hey, what my punishment should be for all this shit, you should feed me for life.
Yeah.
That was an act of defiance that was, it's historically resonant.
Sure.
This, I've corrupted the youth by asking questions and opening their mind. Yes, I should be punished by being a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I should do.
Yeah.
That would have a lot less power if Socrates was ripping off some other dipshit who had said the same thing to the power structure.
Mm.
Like, if this act of defiance was just copying someone else, I think it would look a lot less strong. So, just from Alex's sense of self,
yeah,
he shouldn't just play dress up.
See, that's the thing. It is entirely possible that Socrates did bite that off of somebody, and he was just a biter. But the trick is, be several thousand years in the future and only have one account you can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be having, like, the guy... Oh, also the guy who said it first published my shit 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, here's the problem with that. If Socrates did bite someone in this, it still works.
Sure. No, of course.
In this case, this Alex's gesture only has meaning in the context of Elon did this.
Yeah. That's true.
That's the only... It's referential.
It's pathetic on multiple levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't stand the test of time, even if we erase Elon's action.
Right, because it's predicated upon such.
Yeah. So I don't think that even if Alex were able to control the narrative and erase Elon's meme from history, I don't think it works. I think it's just pathetic across the board in a way that just really disappoints me.
Yeah, no, he should go down in history as being one of the most sycophantic people that ever existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where it should be defining in the character of this person.
Absolutely. He is the quintessential bootlicker.
He has had his empire unfairly taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
He retreats to the secondary studio, and he comes back to his rightful throne, and he references Elon... a meme that Elon did in his moment of great triumph. Not like he loves to say the John Paul Jones, I've not yet begun to fight.
Sure.
You know, that kind of, he needs something like that instead of a sink meme. Just a dork.
Mm.
Ugh.
Yep.
Anyway.
Brutal.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot to really talk about with his return to the studio, because it's more of the same.
I mean,
honestly.
Yeah, because we're a self-aware existence inside of his personal hell.
Yeah, so he just accuses the trustee of crimes more.
Sure.
And then he gets a little bit cocky doing that, like, who's on air now kind of stuff. But there is a moment that I do think is kind of funny.
All right.
And that is Alex... he thinks Trump's going to come save him use the DOJ to crush his enemies for him.
Sure.
And Alex justifies his belief in a disappointing way.
Oh, no.
That he realizes sounds bad in the moment.
So, because let me tell you, this has now been chosen to display what Trump's talking about with the government media court collusion. I mean, you think Trump isn't pissed off? You think he doesn't take it personal? He knows I'm one of his biggest defenders. It'd be like if I have a dog, my German Shepherd that protects my family, and it's chewed up 10 or 15 people that tried to attack us, and now I see somebody beating my dog with a baseball bat. You think I get pissed off? And yeah, I'm comparing myself to Trump's dog.
Oops. That's just on a hilarious, yeah, all right, I'm Trump's dog. All right.
Now I wanna be your dog.
The thing that's also really funny about this is that dogs are trained.
Yep.
And Alex is Trump's dog.
Mm.
And as he is, you know, he has deprived himself of the free will and agency that he pretends to care so much about, which is deeply ironic. And I think when he says, yeah, I'm saying I'm Trump's dog, there's a part of him that recognizes that these are the things that he's implying.
Yeah.
And he's probably ashamed.
Did he not also say that the dog unfairly bit people 10 or 15 times?
No, the dog defended the owners 10 or 15 times and is being unfairly attacked. The owners come to its defense.
Okay.
Which Trump has absolutely not done up till this point when Alex has been under attack.
Yeah. I don't like that one. Mm-hmm. I would be real disappointed with myself if I had unintentionally said that.
Yeah.
Because that would make me think like, oh no, something's trying to escape from my brain to then become life. And talk back to me.
Trump has me on a leash.
Like the back part of my brain spoke out so the words would look the front part of my brain in the face.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It's a bummer.
I hope not to have those.
No. So Alex talks a bit about how they have won, I guess. He as a dog has won.
Sure.
We are devastating you. And nothing you can pull, no false flags, nothing will change that. If the general public slips on a banana peel, they're going to blame you. But, you know, it is always you. Remember, we told you they're not giving Trump supporters aid. They're not going to Republican counties. You can look at the maps in North Carolina. And then we got all the documents. And it wasn't one lady. It was the agency. And then we got videos of the agency heads in their own Zoom meetings saying, don't give Christians, whites, or conservatives any help. We used to be egalitarian, help everybody. Now we only help LGBTQ, whatever.
Is that before or after?
You've seen the video. You want to see it? I mean, that's discrimination.
Women's suffrage.
We know you don't like us. We know you're out to get us. We know you're attacking us. And so we're done playing games. And we realize when we're nice to you, it just makes you abuse us more. Like we're some prostitute and you're the pimp. And you break our arm or put cigarettes out on us and we thank you. No, we don't thank you. We're done. We're getting off the plantation. Figure it out yet? It's a global realignment. I'm just honored to be a part of it.
It's crystal clear what Alex is saying, and anyone should be able to read between those lines very easily. The needs and wants of white Christian conservatives are more important than anyone else. He's a white identity adherent, and he supports the general trend internationally towards more authoritarian governments that place that identity at the core of their image of power. It's been obvious for a long time, which is why we call him a racist and a bigot, so this isn't any kind of surprise to hear. He's basically saying, I'm pissed off because I think white Christians should be the only people with rights, and my response is, we know. We know.
Yep.
This is what you've been saying for a while.
Yep.
He's here celebrating that no false flag his enemies try to pull will derail his movement, and if you understand the subtext there, it's kind of depressing to think about. In InfoWars world, things aren't really false flags. It's a buzzword and an accusation that gets thrown around to get out of any inconvenient spot that Alex might find himself in. Anything and everything from a racist mass murderer to a global pandemic can be called a false flag, to the point where the word doesn't really mean anything anymore. There have been real false flags in the course of history, but that legacy has no connection to what Alex does and how Alex has weaponized the term. The fundamental effect that Alex has achieved with this this whole calling everything a false flag is that we're closer to a reality where terrorism is a feasible strategy for the extreme right to use. Like their actions will never impact the it will be useful. As a, like, you can't derail the right-wing militia movement with the OKC bombing anymore. Like, that's not going to happen. There are going to be people like Alex, and there is a large enough media presence that will deny reality. A completely different reality has been created to insulate extremism from its consequences. And that is what Alex means when he says no false flag will work.
Yep.
We will not take the blame for any of the consequences of this rhetoric is what he's saying.
Yeah,
we've we've disconnected actor from action.
Right, right. But at least we can be relied upon for them to also be in control of the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess it's better that way, in a sense. As long as they're in control of the government, terrorism does not help them achieve their goals. So what we should do is be grateful.
That's not true, though.
Mm.
I think as things don't go exactly how the really angry white identity Christian conservative folks like, I think no matter who's in power, there's a secret group that's in power.
Sure.
And that's the group that isn't prioritizing the white Christian conservative needs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least there are people in power who hold them accountable.
Mm. So we have one last clip here.
Uh-huh.
Alex just gets a little bit defensive about Mr. Onion.
Yes.
He did an interview with the George Stephanopoulos.
Mm.
And Alex goes over that interview and he just complains about how, like, I didn't do anything to these Sandy Hook families, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought this clip was, like, you're accusing these people of serious crimes.
Overnight, the judge in charge of this put a hold on your purchase, raising questions about the process, raising questions about transparency in the bidding process. What do you make of that? Are you confident this is still going to go through?
Yeah, look, we won the bid.
Back it up 10 seconds. He looks at him. Yeah, we won the bid. You won the bid? The trustee's been in the news saying, well, I decided to give it to them, and, you know, they needed extra money, so we came up with this plan. And then they didn't tell the real bidders that, in the rules, you can't do that. And then they changed the stuff last minute. And the judge said that wasn't a real auction. That's why we're back in the building.
So that morning, Alex talked a lot of shit, got a call from a lawyer, and while he was on air, he changed up how he was approaching this and moderated and did this. These are my beliefs. This is my opinion. But his brain doesn't have, he has like a memento thing. By the time he's back on air that evening, it's a new broadcast.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't remember, I'm not supposed to be accusing everyone of all these crimes.
No.
He needs to be reminded constantly.
It's that they're not watching. Yeah. He knows they're not watching. So he can say whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's probably true. And whatever pretend lesson I was pretending to have learned,
yeah,
I can just go ahead and drop that pretense.
Yeah.
That act can fall away.
Yeah, the idea of anything like that giving him pause is purely temporary.
But that's why it needs to be constantly reminded.
That just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
It doesn't make any sense.
Nothing makes any sense.
So anything that leads towards that as an outcome means that the entire process should be scrapped and started from the beginning.
Maybe so.
On a foundation that makes sense.
Maybe.
As opposed to this bananas town.
Maybe the entire institution of talk radio and all this does need to be figured out from ground floors.
I think, yes. From fucking, yeah.
But think about how funny it would be if Alex is on air on this Friday night and he gets another call from the lawyer and he's like, you know, I just want to say that these are my beliefs. And he has to do that again. Every single show involves a beginning that's full of steam.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, he's having to make apologies.
That's possible.
That's pretty funny.
All right. It's possible. Let's say this. Let's say they assign a team of lawyers to watch his show all day, every day. And he also has to, but there have to be consequences. The more they do it, the less valuable it becomes.
Right.
Oh, are you going to do so? Oh, you're watching now? Yeah, of course you are. You called me yesterday. Oh, surprise. Are you going to call me tomorrow? Surprise. Are you going to call me the day after that?
Here's the thing.
Oh, my God. What are you going to do? Fucking nothing.
Right. Except that, like, he clearly was responsive to this trustee's lawyer's call.
Which is weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there is something.
I don't know. Once he finds out those don't have any teeth, man, nothing. I mean, he has to be stopped by being no longer on the air.
Mm.
If you want him to not do the things that we sued him for, he just can't talk on the air.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's a way to do that. But there is...
So
Chase could turn off
I mean, yes, honestly, that really could be a thing.
Anyway, this is all kind of, it feels in some ways like treading water.
Yeah.
And I think that not much is going to be decided until these court things get heard. And I'm out.
Yeah, it's the illusion of movement while still staying in the exact same place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And so I guess we'll check back in whenever.
I guess we will.
but we'll have some episodes in the intervening time period. But we'll be back eventually.
Indeed, we will.
Won't be
you
that long.
Should enjoy your vacation, my friend.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.